As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
One, maybe he's playing a little first base for you right now. I'm not saying he's some unbelievable offensive threat, but he is better than what you have.
No doubt. Offensively, there's no doubt about it. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, and I'm rocking my Valkyrie shirt this morning, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. I want to play something Buster Posey said first, though. Shout out the 707 on the text line at 888-957-9570. You're in the 650. Yes, don't get it twisted. I'm not caping up for Farhan.
But he wasn't all bad.
Right move was to move on, but you're right. He was not all bad.
Yeah, no, like, I guess the totality of his tenure wasn't good enough. That's why he's gone. It wasn't good enough.
No doubt.
But I think that, like, to say he was the worst of all time. No, he wasn't the worst of all time. He's bad.
But this is also not I wish he was back, because no, of course I do not wish that he was back.
Exactly. I think both are true. And then like everyone's like, look at Robbie Ray, and it was a great trade. But let us not forget, like, he signed Mitch Haniger and Michael Conforto that offseason, and they were god-awful signings. He signed, you know, Ross Stripling that same offseason. It was a god-awful signing.
Sean Manaea actually was an okay signing, but they didn't use him at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he had a mixed bag of results. Why he's gone? It's not good enough.
Yes, no doubt. And now the challenge is for Buster Posey to be better than that, and he's has himself a great pitching staff, both starters and the bullpen. He's got to figure out the offense. We thought it would be a good idea to throw back to Buster Posey when he was introduced as president of baseball operations for the Giants. I think also when he was talking on the podium with Willy Adames after that signing was finalized. Here's Buster Posey, though, his intro presser on what he envisions for the Giants moving forward. Let's see, 2 months in, if Buster has accomplished his vision. Here's Buster on what he envisions for the Giants going forward.
It really, hopefully, what it's going to be is we all love, I know Bob loves good, crisp, clean baseball and guys that are going to be always prepared. I think what I can draw on from a player is knowing that if I went into a game and I know I had prepared to the best of my ability, no matter the outcome or result of that game, I could be satisfied with that. And that's, you know, for me, I'm hopeful that our guys are going to get there, and that's going to be something that is really important to them as well.
Mm. Do you feel like the Giants have played crisp and clean baseball like Buster said their goal was?
They've been better at the small ball details offensively than the last 4 years. Absolutely. They have, because they have executed some really nice situational bunts, situational sac flies. You know, like Adames the other day on that second and third. He took third base on that play. Mm. They don't do that a year or two ago. They just didn't have the speed. And what did Lamont Wade Jr., as much as we're crushing him today, he took the back base, taking second base on the throw over to third. Those were the little things this team did. They were the worst base running team I've ever seen. And I'm not even talking about stolen bases. I'm talking about situational base running. Uh-huh. Horrible. So they are better at a lot of those things. But the situational hitting with runners in scoring position right now, in terms of like knocking a guy in via chopper to second base, These last 3 weeks have been awful. But overall, if I step back, this year has been better. And I give Bob a lot of credit for that. I do believe Bob has been better. How about the usage of the bullpen? Is there a time and a place where he went to Jordan Hicks and you got frustrated? Sure.
Oh, God.
Right?
I mean, in Miami.
Right?
I mean, he has to pitch at some point, I suppose, but...
Exactly.
Could have thrown a strike.
But I do believe that Bob has handled the bullpen pretty well this year.
Hard to be upset with anything pitching related.
Exactly.
And a lot of that is Bob. I mean, almost all of it is Bob.
And now, like, the lineup. Well, he can only really play who's kind of available to him and what's on that 25-man roster or 26-man roster, whatever it is now. I think he's done a pretty good job. They've been somewhat prepared. I guess where it comes back to is, well, did you prepare for Lamont Wade Jr. to fall back down to earth? Because that's kind of who he's been the last couple of years. He's not the guy from 2021 that hit 17 jacks and, you know, nine or whatever after the seventh inning or more. Like, that's not who he's been the last couple of years. So that plan to have Lamont Wade Jr. is probably not a great one.
Yeah, that might feel a little bit more on Buster than on Bob.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's going into the season with some combination of Lamont, Casey Schmidt, Encarnacion, and Wilmer as your first base option.
Yeah, it's not great.
No.
It's not great. And now they plan to have Wilmer DH every day, and I thought that was crazy. I thought it was crazy start the year. Yeah, I was wrong, and he was right.
Proving us wrong on that one, for sure.
And I'll freely admit that.
And I don't blame them for Adames. I mean, Adames has been bad.
They needed a shortstop,
and you go out and sign somebody, and it's not like it's on Buster or on Bob Melvin, the fact that Adames can't hit right now and is struggling to field.
I mean, is that on, like, I see a lot of people losing their mind on Pat Burrell, the hitting coach. Is that on him for Willie Adames' struggles?
It feels like you're passing the buck, and it just rests on the veteran who's been a proven player every year in his career.
Let me give you an example. Could you imagine in basketball, who's Buddy Hield's shooting coach?
He's missing all these open threes.
We need to fire Buddy Hield's shooting coach.
Like, Chris DeMarco, get out of here.
Am I wrong, though?
It feels similar to that.
Yeah, like, that's how
baseball feels like so much more of a technical game that, like, I think it makes a little bit more sense.
Okay, so here's an example. Both Willie and Matt Chapman struck out looking on inside pitches. How's that on Pat Burrell? You didn't tell them once you were in the box what to look for on a 1-2 count? Or is that on the hitter?
Well, I suppose some of that could be game plan related. Like, this pitcher likes to throw this pitch in this situation.
Okay, but like, once you dig in, it's on the batter.
Yeah.
That's just my personal belief.
Oh, I'm with you.
You know, like, hey, Pat Burrell, for all we know, is telling Patrick Bailey, take a pitch, doggy. And Pat Bailey's like, no, I will swing at every first pitch no matter what. Because every time I watch him, he swings first
pitch. And oftentimes it will be a breaking ball that bounces.
So, look, I'm not pretending like I know exactly what Pat Burrell is explaining, teaching, emphasizing, stressing, game planning. But I think, like, picking on him as the main reason why the Giants are struggling right now, that I don't think Pat Burrell has forgotten how to hit.
Just really quick, Chesky, to play off that in terms of firing a hitting coach. The Texas Rangers, they've been going through it at the plate all year long. They fired Donnie Ecker, former Giants hitting coach, on May 4th. The Rangers were hitting .224 on that day. Guess how much the Rangers' offense has improved at the plate since then?
Well, they hired our guy, Brett Boone, and Simeon was struggling hard and has been much better. So what is it now, .234?
No, they're down to, they're hitting .222 since then.
Oh, so they're down. Worse.
Yeah, this is since May 4th. So since they fired Donnie Ecker, they're hitting .222. So they've actually hit a little bit worse since firing Donnie Ecker than before. So for people who think that firing the hitting coach is the end-all, be-all fix, no, it does not always quite work like that. And then you're down a hitting coach, and you're still in the same place that you were before.
And to those people who have voiced the fire Pat Burrell opinion, I've also seen... not only fire Pat Burrell, but hire Donnie Ecker back. So we are right now.
I like Donnie Ecker, and I thought that he had some unique points of view regarding hitting. Like, I did. I actually really liked him, and I believe we both follow each other on social media.
Oh, blue.
Yeah, I know. He's a good dude.
Thanks, Carter.
I trust Pat Burrell. I mean, dude...
happy with Pat Burrell.
I've been watching Pat Burrell. No, I'm being real here. I've been watching Pat Burrell hit a baseball. Bellarmine Reardon back in like the early 00s, late 90s. I think it was the late 90s. Like, Pat Burrell's always known how to hit. It's just
Kane's legend.
Yes, absolutely. I watched him throw a football, by the way, when he was in high school. He's like a sophomore. He threw football like 70 yards.
You know this. You coach, you teach. Doing is different than coaching.
Yeah, no doubt. But some guys have a principle or a philosophy about hitting that I subscribe to. Will Clark, I don't care what anyone tells me for the rest of my life. If Will Clark is giving you an explanation on hitting, you listen, correct?
Same thing with Barry.
Barry,
yeah.
Willie, right? There are certain guys. I'm telling you, dude, Pat Burrell didn't become a 15-year big leaguer without preparation, study, and obsession. I know he's a wild guy and he enjoys a lot of like goofball stuff and he's been a great character off the field. That guy is obsessed with ball.
More Buster Posey from his intro presser asked about the Giants' identity. Here's Buster.
I wouldn't say the brand's been tarnished. I mean, again, I think that's a lot of discussion we're going to be having over the next weeks and months is about our identity, you know, and again, I want to be clear, like our identity really boils down to the players on the field and the way that they play and the type of players they are and how they handle themselves, not only on the field, but in the community. So I think that's going to be a big part of discussion is like what really is important to us as an organization and what are we going to hang our hat on at the end of the day?
That feels like more big picture stuff as opposed to philosophy in terms of building a team. But it almost feels like maybe almost a shot at Blake Snell and the kind of players that they have in the clubhouse as opposed to philosophy in terms of what they do at the plate or anything like that.
Well, this team does feel close-knit. Like when you look at the Padres.
Logan Webb said.
Yeah. But when I look at the Padres, I go, wow, look at the talent on this team. Machado and Tatis and Arias and Cronenworth and Jackson Merrill Jack whatever that
Jackson Merrill yeah.
Thank you. I always split them up. I want to go Merrill Lynch on them. they've got so much talent, and then I always look up and I'm like, how are they not better?
Giants have scored more runs than them this year,
so clearly
no sense.
Clearly they don't all get along though as well. That's been part of why Bob Melvin's here. That's been why they've ran through different coaches and different GMs. So like, there's a chemistry issue on top of maybe they don't have enough pitching. Right, I look at the Giants, I'm like, no, I think these guys all get along. I think they've built a good clubhouse. They just don't have enough hitting.
Let's see. Padres runs scored of late. One run last night, six runs the game before, zero, three, eight, eight, four, five, one, two, six, and then zero, zero, one, one, one.
Yeah. Tatis has been struggling last 10.
They had a couple of bigger outputs with eight runs and eight runs and six runs, but they also have had a lot of real bad offensive performances of late. And considering talent and considering everything on the roster, you look at the Padres season versus the Giants season. Padres are 34-24, Giants are 33-27. What has been, considering talent and everyone on the roster, what has been the more impressive record? The Giants have probably outperformed their talent. The Padres maybe have underperformed their talent.
I agree, and that's why it's frustrating.
Yeah.
And then you lose a game 1-0 like they did yesterday, and you're pulling your hair out. You're like, we're as good as them, even though they have more name recognition.
Yeah.
Like, we're just that one bat away.
One bat away. So what the hell is Buster Posey going to do, Shasky? We can keep trying to figure this thing out. 888-957-9570. That's what's coming up on the game. We're brought to you by Safeway. It's the morning roast. We're with you until 10 o'clock. We got a little bit more time with you. When we come back, it's Joe Shasky. I'm Mark Randy in for Spadoni here on this Tuesday. Back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Over their last 15, going back to just after that Friday night whooping of the A's 2.5 weeks ago, they haven't scored more than four runs in a game. They've scored 30 runs in the 15 games since, including 3 shutouts in their last 9 games. Last 9 games played, they haven't scored a single run 3 times.
It just feels like, too, when they don't execute early in the game and scratch across a run, it gets harder and more ugly and harder and more ugly each at bat, each inning, does it not?
Oh, it does. And I don't know how you watch baseball. I tend to get like stuck in these like cynical ways when like a team is going through a real rough patch like
trust
this.
Trust me, yeah. No, I don't know anything about that.
So second inning happens, right?
Yeah, I knew right away. Yeah, we're going to lose this game 1-0 somehow.
Rally for free, walk, hit by pitch, walk. You get bailed out by a missed call by the umpire, so you have bases loaded and nobody out. They go weak ground out, force out at home, double play, inning over, no runs. And I'm sitting on my couch at home. I know you were at the ballpark, but I'm sitting at my couch at home texting the buds being like, odds they even score a run this game now.
That's sad.
Odds they even, it was the second inning. Everyone's like, oh, they ain't scoring.
It's unreal.
And they didn't score, and they had an extra inning to score, and they didn't score with a leadoff runner on second base and nobody but out.
It's got like a 49er offense feel when you turn the ball over in the red zone, and you're like, oh, it's going to be one of those kind of games.
Are they ever even going to get back into the red zone today?
Or a Jake Moody missed field goal early in the game?
Nah, too soon.
Yeah, these guys, but there are certain things that happen. And it's just the part that was frustrating is that you could tell early on, oh, Logan looks great. Just scratch a couple across. And he was fired up. There were like a lot of up and ins and guys getting hit yesterday early in that game. What'd you make of that?
Yeah, there was like three dudes got hit in the first 3 innings, all like on the hands
and then
on the fingers.
Wilmer lost his mind a little, which
he was the
never
third
see.
That got hit.
And you see the pitcher like, hey, dude, my bad. Like they showed the replay of him and how he was reacting
Kolek
to him.
Kolek was very apologetic about it.
Yeah, but and then like Krugel's talking about, well, he has no fear throwing up and in. And like these guys all have all this protective gear on. Now, Wilmer doesn't wear the hand thing that Casey Schmidt does. Some of the other guys do. They wear it over your hand to protect you. Pitching up and in is an art, and like guys like Pedro Martinez, you got to have the guts, A, to do that, and then B, you got to be willing to stand your ground in case you do hit somebody and they want to come charge the mound on you. And it is part of the game that you almost can't adjudicate out, which is the mentality and the physicality of if someone's going to throw up and in and you feel like it was deliberate, you do there's got to be a healthy balance of being able to call that individual out. Yeah. And I do think that now when you have the DH in both leagues, some guys feel like they can throw up and in without the fear of retaliation. And I'm not saying you can retaliate because, look, you're throwing 100 miles an hour. Someone can get legitimately injured, right? And you could break a hand.
Why does the DH impact the ability to retaliate?
Not digging in as a pitcher and not seeing a couple of balls come in at 100 miles an hour
still get your teammates hurt, though.
No doubt. But there's a difference between getting ear-holed when you are, that's what the old term used to be, when, you know, you knew you were the starting pitcher. One of my favorite stories, you know, Wade Boggs, when I was in Boston, he was telling us a story about how Ellis Burks was his teammate, and they had faced Nolan Ryan the day before. And Roger Clemens had pitched the day before, and they were facing Nolan Ryan that day. And Roger Clemens hit a bunch of guys. This is when the early, mid-80s Red Sox. And Nolan Ryan's in the dugout the other day. He goes, "I'm pitching tomorrow, boys. I'm pitching tomorrow." And Wade Boggs is like, "Well, I'm batting at the top of the lineup tomorrow against Nolan Ryan." And young Roger Clemens is, you know, barking.
Roger, please stop talking.
And that's what they're all saying.
I'm going to get hit. Please stop.
Who bats in front of Wade Boggs the next day? Ellis Burks. And he ear-holed him, snapped the flap on his helmet, and knocked him out of the game. First inning. And Wade Boggs is like, "Yeah, we were scared to death of Nolan Ryan. Not only just hitting us, throwing up and in, he threw like a one or two hitter that day." And everyone's backing off the plate because they didn't wear the protection or anything like that. So there is an element of fear that was baked into the old school way of playing. And now with all the protective gear and not having to bat and all that stuff, you do lose little elements of that. Now, the American League's had the DH for, you know, 50 years. So that wasn't an element in play back then. But I do feel like there are a lot of guys from the pitcher's mound who will throw at people and not understand that there is, like, retaliation that happens.
Yeah, Lamont Wade got hit. He left the game. X-rays came back negative for Lamont. He's officially being called day-to-day. We'll see what that means for him going forward. Might not be the worst case if he misses a couple of days and forces the Giants to figure out something else at first base.
What is it, 7-day IL is the minimum?
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's for concussions. I think for players it's still 15.
Oh, is it 15?
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. A hard time saying he'll be able to squeeze his glove with the pinky situation. I think he'll
go
retroactive.
Him to play today.
I got a feeling he goes retroactively.
But he got hit. Wilmer got hit. I forget who on the Padres got hit.
It was the catcher while swinging.
Elias Diaz.
The original. Yeah. He's batting like 220. He has a great arm.
So those three got hit in the first three innings. Mm-hmm. Wilmer was the third to get hit, and he was pretty upset. I don't know. It didn't really strike me as anything that was intentional at all.
I didn't think so either.
I think Wilmer is completely well within his rights to be frustrated, but it's also baseball. You pitch inside, sometimes you get hit. And
100%.
I think it just happened.
I would agree with you,
on that. You can't change anything about that. You can't take away a pitcher's ability to pitch inside. The pitcher's being punished for allowing a base runner.
That was a great game. I mean, I don't think it ended until almost 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And I was glued. I was glued to that game. You know, I left the game a little early, right? And so I'm at home. I'm watching on the iPad at home, on the bed, quietly with the lights out. And it's just me with my little earbud in, lying down. And you guys are all texting away. And I'm watching that game. I'm like, geez, Louise, we're going to blow this. I knew we were going to lose.
I hate that that's where my mind goes.
I know.
Bases loaded, nobody out, second inning, you don't score, and immediately thinking, all right, this one's
probably
going to
lose this in extra innings. This
Where's the double play going to come from?
Do you guys like the Ghost Runner?
No, I don't.
Why? Not in the 10th inning, but like if the 11th, 12th inning, if they started it then, I probably wouldn't be as mad about it.
I feel that.
That's a game last night that would have went on for days.
Still be played right now.
Yeah, I love the Ghost Runner.
Did you guys see Willard's tweet last night? He had a funny one.
What was it?
Extra innings, they should start with a runner on third.
That's the only way the Giants could score.
Well, I think the real joke was the Giants' offense is so inept, they thought about taking away the Ghost Runner at second.
Yeah, they didn't even deserve it.
Mark. It's not bad.
Although, again, in the ninth inning, they had a runner on second with nobody out, just like they did in the 10th. They didn't score either of them. So they earned that runner on second with nobody out in the ninth inning. Leadoff single by Wilmer. Cost comes in, steals second, and they still didn't score. So
I know. The other element about, you know, eliminating extra innings, like, or trying to reduce extra innings with having the Ghost Runner, those 17, 18, 19 inning games from a television standpoint aren't doing much for you. And then from a depleting of your bullpen and your assets can ruin you for weeks in terms of an organization. And that's why I think when you have a 162-game grind, I think it's a great way of just finding a way to get these games over quicker.
Yeah, I'm just never a fan of less baseball, and this generally means less baseball. I want as much baseball as possible. And the baseball tells on themselves when they take away the ghost runner in the postseason. I know it's a long season and 182 or 62 games. Like, I get it, but you don't have the ghost runner in the postseason.
No, that's fine.
It's pure baseball. It should be that way the entire year.
If I could jump, Peter, I think the very similar one is like with hockey and the shootout. Like, a lot of fans didn't like the shootout at first because it's like it ends too quickly. You have a 5-minute overtime, and then you have the shootout. But then when you go to the postseason, it's the 20-minute overtime periods, and that just works. But you can't have these 20-minute overtimes during the regular season of hockey because guys just get worn out.
Exactly.
Same thing with baseball. If you have all these 13, 15, 20-inning games in the regular season, it torches your rotation, your pitching staff for a few days afterwards. You don't want that in the middle of June. But come October when the games have all the meaning, we can deal with those long extra-inning games.
And look, maybe they adjust the rules. So, like, when they expand rosters, you can do a 40-man, I think, leave with September 1st, usually.
No, it's only 28 now.
Oh, so now it's only 28. Well, even then, I would expand the rosters in the last month of the season, and maybe you suspend the rule in the last month if games are really coming down to it at the end, because you have more bodies.
I hear you. I don't know. It just feels like not real baseball when you have an automatic runner at second base. And it kind of felt like
when you have a child and you're down at Twin Creeks and you're playing triple headers on a Sunday after playing a doubleheader on a Saturday, you are going to love the ghost runner.
That's different.
How is it different?
I'm watching Major League Baseball. I want to see this game play out.
You know who's going to be the number one pick? One of them, Ethan Holliday. You know what he's been playing for the last five summers? Perfect game baseball at tournaments that employ the ghost runner. Like, all the generation that's coming up right now has had the ghost runner in every tournament that they've ever been in since the beginning of them playing baseball. So, in this case, you're the old guy, they're the young guy, and they love it.
Just because there's a rule one way for lower-level baseball does not mean that higher-level baseball has to be the same way. There's different rules for the highest-level sports.
When you're tucking in little Mark Grandy III, okay, when you're tucking him into bed, you're going to want to be able to, you know, get to bed at an appropriate time. And if you were doing this shift on a routinely basis, you would die to have these games end quickly. And trust me, the two-hour limit, or whatever you want to call it, the pitch clock has been great.
Hey, pitch clock has been great.
Not all these moves have been great. Pitch clock.
Just the ghost runner I'm not a fan of. Anyway, Giants are really struggling, Shasky. They found a way to actually win a few of these baseball games. It could be a whole lot worse. I'll again say, and we can get back to Buster Posey's vision for this team, and if he's upheld his end of the bargain so far, if you were to tell me, on June 2nd, the Giants would be three games out of first place in the West, and a lot of that has to do with injuries and issues to the other teams. But the Giants were six games over 500, 33-27. You were getting what you were getting out of Elliot Ramos and out of Jung-Hoo Lee and out of Tyler Fitzgerald and Wilmer Flores. I would take it in a heartbeat. So I don't want people to get the way I'm feeling and kind of twist it around. I am very encouraged at where the Giants are right now.
They're in a great spot.
I've been pleasantly surprised at how well they have played as a whole, generally how well they have pitched. But that only, like, the way that my mind works, when you have that good of a performance, at least one half of your team, it ratchets up my expectations and my belief, and it only makes every game that much more important. If the Giants were already 10 games over under 500, and last night happened, I'd be frustrated as a diehard fan of this Giants team. But because what they have shown through the course of 60 games now, 33-27, I have this real belief that they are capable of doing something potentially special this year, which is what makes the last 2.5 weeks that much more frustrating, because I feel like we're on the doorstep of something positive. And what the offense has been doing is taking away that positivity.
I think you're making a lot of great points. Like, look around sports the last couple of years, right? We thought Boston was going to go on an NBA Finals run to span multiple years, and injuries have derailed that. And out of nowhere, here come the Indiana Pacers.
Well, and the Celtics are now going to have to look at a tear-down offseason.
Right? You know, the Eagles, a year ago, were like, wow, they're at a crossroads. They've lost coordinators. They fired everybody. They've got roster problems. Now today we're like, oh, they're the reigning champs, and they can go back-to-back,
yeah,
right? And
favorites to win the NFC.
I look at everybody's like, oh, the Dodgers are, oh, they're never going to be beat again. All right, well, let's pump the brakes on this. Who's going to be pitching for them come October? Like, let's see where they're at. Let's see. This is a long season. Giants never went back-to-back. No. Dodgers roster and the money that they've allocated is significantly better than whatever the Giants have done. But baseball as a whole has not had a repeat winner since going back to the Yankees in the early 00s. And I look at it and I say to myself, just 2 years ago, the Diamondbacks came out of nowhere from the wild card spot, got all the way to the World Series. So did the Phillies the year before that, right? So there's a lot of evidence in this sport. If you catch lightning in a bottle, you make a couple moves, you can be that team that can go on a run. Did you have the Texas Rangers winning it all a couple years ago?
No, of course not.
I didn't either, right? So why can't this year's Giants be the Indiana Pacers, be the Texas Rangers, or the Diamondbacks, and go on a run and buy for the now while also not like sacrificing all the future, but some of it, and buy in on a team that's actually got a lot of veterans? Logan's a vet. Robbie Ray's a vet. Their bullpen's all vets outside of like Miller and Randy Rodriguez. Camilo was here for the 2021 run.
Yeah.
You know, Adames and Chapman, those are vets. You know, Bailey's been in the league for about 3-4 years now. I wouldn't call him a vet per se, but he's seasoned enough.
Yaz is a vet.
Yaz is clearly
a
vet.
Starting right fielder if you make a move. But
Bob Melvin's been here, done that before. Now he's lost in the playoffs, but they've got more vets than you want to give them credit for. You got to buy for this team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The key, and it's always been this way for the Giants, and it's why I have always encouraged them. Like, they, years past, and a lot of this was just the pressure that Farhan felt, and it was, you could kind of feel it teetering in a bad direction, and he was kind of fighting for his life, and he signed Chapman, and he signed Snell, and all that. But he chased, the Giants chased Giancarlo Stanton back in the day. They chased Bryce Harper. They chased Judge, and they chased Ohtani, right? And they strike out on all those guys. And great, if you can get one of those guys to come here, fantastic. It would turn the franchise around. But history suggests that it's going to be very, very difficult for the Giants to ever get one of those primary, like, sluggers, superstar hitters, just because of where you are and your ballpark. It seems like that's going to be difficult. So I've always encouraged the Giants to lean into pitching and defense, because that is always what has won. When they've been good, it has been on the backs of a great pitching staff and a really solid defense. And a lot of the small things that Buster is talking about, situational hitting and doing, executing those small things better than anybody else. That has always been the equation, the right way in which the Giants have won. They have that on this year's team. They absolutely have it. If they find a way to just get a bat in here, one more bat, one good bat, two above average bats, I would not feel a ton of difference from this year's team to a team that won a World Series in 2010 and 2012. 2014 feels like kind of out of the blue. Like, 2014 was crazy, the fact that they won that.
Baumgartner dragged them.
2010 and 2012 made a whole lot more sense from just a talent standpoint.
They were the best team in baseball through July or through June in 2012?
2012, they were awesome.
They were, that was their best
team of the bunch.
Yes, I agree.
By a pretty wide margin.
I agree. And again, they made a crazy acquisition of Hunter Pence
that year. Hunter Pence at the trade deadline. They're not that far away from being similar to one of those teams, in my opinion.
No, I'm with you. Their best way of getting a middle-of-the-order guy, if you go back to, like, the mid-'80s, look, developing one of those guys is mandatory. Like, whether, you know, they signed Bonds. But to me, they drafted Bonds out of high school. He went to Arizona State. They've been linked to Bonds for so long. He was so unique. It's hard to consider him your template for how to lure a free agent, because he had ties to the area. His dad was going to come coach. He was buddies with Dusty. It was deeper than just, you know, a normal free agent signing. But when they traded for Kevin Mitchell, that changed their lineup. You know, Will Clark and Kevin Mitchell. When they traded for Jeff Kent and he developed into the player that he would become, that changed their lineup. When they traded for Hunter Pence and put him alongside Posey, again, notice the combination here, a drafted guy that you've developed alongside a traded guy. That changed the trajectory of all these teams, and it made them winners. You got a couple of guys in place in Adamas and Chapman, but I don't think they're centerpiece guys. You need somebody to trade for right now, and that way when Bryce does come up, you have a tandem. You have a legitimate everyday guy who everything can center around, and now not all the pressure is on Bryce Eldridge.
Do you remember who the Giants gave up to acquire Hunter Pence?
It was a catcher, Tommy Joseph.
That's one of them. There's three guys. I remember Nate Shearholtz was the major leaguer that they traded away.
Arm in right field.
Nate Shearholtz.
I was just going to say, I bet you Sam Lubman loved Nate Shearholtz.
I was a big fan of Nate Shearholtz. Yeah, I love that Nate Shearholtz
game. I remember a random game. This must have been 2011. It wasn't a year that they won it all.
He did have an arm.
I think it was 2011. He was playing right field. Me and my sister went to a game where we're sitting in the bleachers, front row of the bleachers, got a ball and a ground rule double that day, I remember. And it was like a 14-15 inning game, and Nate Shearholtz hit two home runs, including the walk-off versus the Padres. So Nate Shearholtz
always
has a soft spot.
Tommy Joseph was the top-rated prospect, catching prospect in their system, and they hung on to him for a variety of reasons. But with Buster, they didn't know where he was at coming off that ankle injury. And then clearly he was having a monster year in 2012, which was his MVP year. I think the last 100 RBI season for a Giant, too.
Might be. So Shearholtz, Tommy Joseph, and then Seth Rosin.
So I don't even remember Seth Rosin. The third. Yeah.
Now, so point is, I mean, you didn't end up giving a lot for him. And Pence became a key piece on two World Series teams and became the heartbeat of your team.
No doubt.
Very quickly. And years beyond 2014. And to the point where he is retired and has been for a while and still has all these ties, works for the TV broadcasting crew that calls Giants games. So that was a franchise-altering trade. And you parted with Tommy Joseph, a name that you remembered. He was a big enough prospect for you to remember that name, who became nothing at the major league level. Like,
I bet if we pulled 100 Giants fans at Oracle, maybe three or four would know who Tommy Joseph is.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm being real when I say that. And what did he
top out as? When he was traded, do you think he was a top 10 prospect?
In our system, yes. Not in the major leagues. Yeah, he was never a top 100 prospect, but he was highly touted in ours. Tim Alderson was the bigger name. Again, this is going back to when online, it was the McCoveyChronicles.com and you had FireBrianSabian.com, right? That's where you would look at all these things and MLBTradeRumors.com. Tim Alderson was highly touted. It was him and Bumgarner. Those were the two guys. And Bumgarner had this mystique because he fought or argued with an umpire in the minor leagues and walked off the mound and fired the ball into the stands. I mean, I'm going way back in the day.
You are going way back.
And then obviously Gary Brown.
Gary Brown.
I mean, I could still hear Marty Lurie talking about Gary Brown.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
He was going to be the guy.
How many the guys has there been?
He was going to be.
There's
the
been
guy.
So many.
Get the hell! I'm
chasing the ghost of Todd Linden.
Look,
that guy was in the minors. I swear to God, he was 37 years old, playing right field for the Giants. I was like, what are we doing? Get him off my AAA team.
Sooner or later, one of the guys is going to become the guy, and maybe it's Bryce Aldridge, and maybe you promote him now, and he tears the cover off of the ball, and you never look back, and he makes you feel the way Posey felt in 2010. But and maybe this isn't smart, and maybe this would ultimately come back and bite me in you know where, but Chasky, as a Giants fan growing up, having lived through all of these top-flight prospects that haven't panned out, I am nearing the point where I don't care if he's your top prospect. Trade him for a proven bat now. I'm so desperate for a bat. Buster, do whatever it takes to get a bat in here. You threw out Logan Webb. Maybe I wouldn't go as far as Logan Webb, but Birdsong, if it's going to cost me Harrison, if it's going to cost me Landon Roop, going to cost me Carson Wisenhunt, do it. If it's going to cost me two of those dudes, do it. Get me a bat that's going to come in here and bat cleanup for not just this year, but for next year and the year after that, and is going to help transform this into just an average offense. Because it's only going to take an average offense for this team to legitimately be fearsome in the postseason. Do whatever it takes. I am done having a bottom-of-the-barrel offense. As a Giants, I feel like they've won three championships in my lifetime, and I'm forever grateful for that. But even those championship teams, it was, please, just hit a little bit more. Can you find anybody? Do whatever it takes, Shasky. That is my message to Buster Posey. Get a bat.
I'm with you. Let me give you some of the names that I thought were going to be good players at some point or another.
God. There's like 20 of them, probably.
20. I bet you I can start naming. All right, I'm going to start naming. If you guys have heard of any of these guys, remember when Dan Runsler was a hot prospect?
Oh, I remember Dan
great
Runsler.
Reliever. Lefty, right?
Is it Adrianza?
Adrianza.
Yeah. He
second
was
baseman?
One. Cody Ransom, Desi Wilson, J.R. Phillips. I'll just start naming names from back in the day that people thought were going to be him.
Thomas Neal
was one. Did they get the shortstop Cabrera for him? Look that up. Thomas Neal was somebody I thought. Chris Stratton. Okay, I thought it was good. Kyle Crick.
Another Chris.
Clayton Blackburn.
Christian Arroyo
traded, yeah. Can't give him up for Giancarlo Stanton. Christian Arroyo.
Was he traded for Longoria?
Yeah,
for the
he
Rays?
Was. Yeah.
Yeah, and he became nothing.
He is nothing. Yeah, he's not very good.
What about him?
I mean,
good call on the Orlando Cabrera, Thomas Neal.
It was Orlando Cabrera, the shortstop
with
the
frizzy
hair.
Nice.
He was great. No, he was, dude. I like Cabrera. Foppert, you know, he's up in Marin right now, but like Foppert, you know, Francisco Liriano, Zach Wheeler, Brad Hennessy.
Well, Francisco Liriano became something, but not for you.
Yeah, no. Joe Roa. I mean, there's so many names that I can think of off the top of my head that have never developed into anything for the San Francisco Giants. It's Angel Villalona. Remember that name?
Well, that went off the rails for a completely different reason.
and to be fair, every team, every franchise, every farm system has countless of those dudes. The difference is a lot of other franchises.
As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I just have so many more dudes who became people, who became guys, than the Giants.
Fred Lewis, I thought, was going to be a 30 home run
Fred
a year guy.
Fred Lewis.
I mean, there's just... It's
remember when here for the cycle at Coors?
Just about to bring that up.
Oh, my God, dude. Oh, my God.
Like a
15-2
win?
What's that?
Like a 15-2 win at Coors Field?
Yorbit Torrealba, you know, I thought was going to be a catcher that was going to be good. Am I wrong?
Yeah, he was a good backup.
I mean, like, the Giants' prospects, we have been talking about prospects till we're blue in the face for the last 35 years.
6'5", I mean, mentions an obvious one.
Give me
one.
Some of the names.
Luciano.
Obviously, Marco Luciano.
Jerome Williams.
Puka Shells.
Calvin Murray.
Calvin Murray's a great one.
Jerome Williams. This maybe isn't fair because he actually got to the bigs and was pretty decent. Noah Lowry.
Noah Lowry was good.
He was good.
Good
and then
lefty.
He got injured.
He had the
never,
rib thing.
Yeah,
never was
number
the same.
51. He was really good. Good lefty.
I have to say, I met Noah Lowry once, and he was the nicest athlete I've ever met in my life.
So here's the
by
funniest.
Far.
He used to own Santa Rosa Ski and Sport up in Sonoma County.
Really?
Yeah.
The ladies loved Noah Lowry. Because I was in high school at that time, and the high school chicks loved him. Loved him. Loved him. But this is what I'm saying. Like, Giants, look, going back to Sean Estes and William Van Launching Pad, a.k.a. William Van Landingham, the Giants have been talking about pitching prospects and player prospects that have not materialized for the longest time. So my setting has always been, like, 9 times out of 10, like, get rid of the prospect, bring me the proven player. You know, it's just what it is. So I'm with you. I think most Giants fans are with you.
It feels like almost an inequity, and I think like at some point teams are going to catch on, and teams honestly have done this to a certain degree, and you're going to like, I don't know. Like I think it's the way NBA teams value draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we don't know what that first-round draft pick is going to be. It might ultimately turn out to be the 22nd overall pick, and it's going to be nobody who ever makes the league ever and has ever has any value. But we got to hold on to our precious draft picks because, like, I could have a sure thing that, yeah, has limitations and maybe isn't a superstar, but is a quality player that's going to turn your batting order around. It's going to make you a better team mm-hmm. now and for years to come. Or I could have the mystery box, the mystery item.
It's like a Family Guy episode.
Who might?
I can give you $1 million or the mystery box. Ooh, what's in the mystery box?
I think it was, you know, I could have a boat or the mystery box.
Is that
box.
What it was? Okay.
And then Peter says, well, I want the mystery box. I wonder what it is. It might even be a boat. Like, it might just be what you're turning down. It might ultimately be worse. And yes, you will at times be burned. Zach Wheeler was just shouted out on the text line. Yes, like,
took a long time.
And you do it often enough, you're going to make a mistake.
Yeah.
But I think the point that we're trying to make is, if you just are willing to trade your guys, your
yes.
prospects, more often than not, you may come out on top. Because you take a chance on a player like that, you're going to get someone who helps you win now. And hey, that might be the difference in a postseason run and not. And then the guy that you held on to as a result might turn out to be Christian Arroyo.
Well,
and you might be stuck with nothing anyway. Or you trade him away later when his value is worth nothing anymore.
Well, let's look at someone like Patrick Bailey. He was untradeable just a couple of years ago. Come on. For the right deal, you'd throw Patrick Bailey in there. Would you not?
Yeah.
I wouldn't think twice. And I mean,
Patrick Bailey. He's one of the best defensive catchers in baseball.
And one of the worst.
Offensive
hitters.
Catchers
yes.
in baseball.
Literally both of them simultaneously. We were looking at Fangraphs, and he's like, oh, God, so bad compared to the average catcher hitter. But, like, yeah, I mean, that's what it is. He was, what was it, 13th, 10th overall pick, somewhere in that range? None of it means anything.
I mean, Hunter Bishop, right? He was a first-round pick.
Sarah Boy, right from down the street. You know, yeah, I had a lot of promise for him, but he was like the fourth or fifth best Arizona State player that year. You know, Torkelson, who was the number one pick that year, yeah. I believe, Petaluma kid, Arizona State as well, with Detroit, been up and down in his career, having a much better year this year. He was not good last year after hitting like 31 the year before that. A lot of these guys don't materialize.
Andrew Vaughn, Santa Rosa kid, who has really struggling with the White Sox the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great one.
I mean, it happens all the time.
Joey Bart, Golden Spikes Award winner. He calls his own game. Trust me, I remember all of it. But I was excited.
Then you get the one that hits, and it's Buster Posey, and he wins you three World Series, and he wins you an MVP, he's your president of baseball operations.
But
and
they
it makes
hit on
you
a lot.
Scared because you don't want to trade away that guy.
No, I hear you.
They hit on a lot of pitchers.
No doubt. Kane was, I believe, a first-round high school pick. Lincecum was a top-10 pick coming out of Washington.
Bumgarner.
Bumgarner. Exactly. Like they hit on a lot of those, you know what I mean? And then they did a great job finding the randoms. You know, Pablo Sandoval is one of the great stories of the Giants prospect. Came out of nowhere and had a monster rise.
Won a batting title in 2009.
That's what I'm saying. So sometimes you do have to get lucky.
You do. You do have to get lucky, but you also sometimes have to be willing to take risks. And
We're
talking about the Padres. Padres, believe it or not, have scored fewer runs than the Giants this year. I love the way the Padres do business, though. Being willing to take risks and take big swings. I really, really like that. And again, at times, you do that often enough, you will get bit.
Look at Washington
right
now. You
will be on the wrong side of things
at times. A lot of the Washington, hype right now, the Nationals, is because they made a hell of a trade with the Padres.
Mackenzie Gore,
yes.
T.J. Abrams,
those
are both Padres recruit or Padres prospects.
I believe Josh Bell also went in that deal, who's bounced around a bunch. But there were a lot of different guys, and the shortstop, he's having a hell of a year.
And it got you not a lot of Soto. It got you Soto, but Then you traded Soto away, and
exactly.
You got back a lot in return.
Exactly. They were actually really shrewd with that. But it did
kind of... And it goes as far as Tatis.
Yeah.
They traded away proven MLBers.
Yeah.
What, James Shields?
Yeah, big game James.
Is that who it was? And then some prospects to get Fernando Tatis Jr. And now he's the cornerstone of their team probably for the next decade. And already has been for like the last 5 years.
And he's one of the most... For 12-year-old boys... who play baseball and girls. Like, he's one of the most recognized guys
no doubt.
In the game.
Yeah.
They love him. Kids love him.
888-957-9570. If you want to weigh in here, 888-957-9570. But, yeah, I mean, it's difficult to have any level of positivity about the Giants when they're going through their offensive woes that they are right now. I just want to say that it could be... so much worse. So much worse. The Giants have, the best pitching in baseball. The best, you can make that argument when you combine pitching staff and bullpen.
I'm with you.
Best in the league.
They've got multiple front end of the rotation starters who are elite this year. This year, elite. Robbie Ray and Logan Webb. And they have arguably three of the most dynamic weapons in the bullpen based on metrics that are in the game right now. Camilo, Tyler Rogers, and Randy Rodriguez.
All right, they can't hit, season's over, let's pack it up and go home. This is, they just need a little bit of, they just need a push across the finish line, and they will be there. They will be there come September. I really do feel that way. All right, we got about 5 minutes left. It's time for Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
I'm looking at a poll on MLB Network, and they got Rafael Devers as an MVP candidate for the American League.
I mean, he's been hitting the ball better lately.
Okay.
He was terrible to begin the year. He has been on a bit of a heater of late.
Okay. He's an MVP candidate after everything that's going down in Boston?
I mean, they got Aaron Judge in that league. And also, have you seen what Cal Raleigh for the Mariners has been doing? Dude has 23 home runs as a catcher.
They're a team that needs pitching, too.
Mariners?
Yes, the Mariners. And we've done a lot of deals with them. I wonder if they'd ever move off Julio.
He hasn't been as good as they would have hoped of late.
But he's a guy that might need a change of scenery. That seems like a long shot.
Is that your final thought?
My final thought is this. It's very simple. It's very easy. Score some damn runs today. You got to find a way to win today. I wanted to get 3 out of 4 against the Padres. Now I'm like, hit the split. Let's do this. But when you have, when you have an opportunity to score early in this game, we're going to know by the fourth inning what type of offense the Giants have today. And if they haven't scored by the fourth inning, I don't feel good.
It's Ryan Burgert on the bump for the Padres versus Landon Roop for the Giants.
You know who that is?
Landon Roop. I mean, he's been pretty
good. No, I know Landon Roop. I'm talking about the other guy.
Yeah, Ryan Burgert. He has a zero ERA, but I think he's only pitched in like one game.
Four innings this year.
I should swoop him up in fantasy and start him right now today in daily fantasy against the Giants.
I started Kolek last night.
Did you?
The Padres. One out shy of a quality start. I needed that.
He got yanked in the middle of that inning. I don't think he was happy.
He was not happy. Yeah. He wanted the quality start. He didn't get the win either, but it's all right. Sam, what do you got? Final thought for us?
No, my final thought is just would it be so funny if the Giants, just after all morning we spent complaining about the offense, they just exploded for like 9 runs tonight. I think that would just be so hilarious and great. I'm not going to hold my breath for it.
You going
to
predict it?
Yeah, I'm gonna predict a 5-run outburst tonight. Yeah, we're going big tonight. I believe in one of these innings, we're gonna put up a crooked number.
Is a crooked number 3 or just 2?
It's any number that isn't straight.
So 2 runs in an inning. All right,
breaking out the big bats.
Carter, what do you got?
My final thought today is I'm going to bring some positivity to this Giants talk. Okay. I think we've done pretty well this year as far as what Vegas expected us to do for the season. Two bright spots. We can look at Jung-Hoo Lee. He's been wonderful this year. Heliot Ramos has clearly panned out as a player, and the pitching staff has performed, I would say, right where we maybe thought they were or above. So let's have some positivity. The only reason we're this angry, let's be honest, is because the expectations have moved now, seeing this team.
Yeah,
so
it's called recalibrate.
Totally.
I'll be real quick, Shasky. I know you want to blow up about something here in our final 30 seconds. I will just say, Willie Adames, extra base hit today. Ah, come on, bud. Willie Adames, a double or better today. That's my final thought. We need it from you, Willie. What do you got?
MLB Network just posted a graphic that said the Padres are interested in Red Sox outfielder Jaron Duran, the guy I want the Giants to go get. Perfect spark plug. Could you imagine if they get Merrill and him in the outfield together with Tatis? Might be the most athletic outfield in the last 30 years.
No, we don't need that.
Tatis made a play in Triple's Alley yesterday. I was like, how did he get to that? The one that Tyler Fitzgerald hit
there. That was
a hell of a play.
Would have scored a run. The Giants would have won the game.
Because he's so athletic, they played him way off the line.
Yeah. If someone in the NL West not named the Giants acquires Jaron Duran, I'm going to be pissed, Shasky. I'm going to be upset.
All right. It's perfect for the Bay.
That's all the time that we got. It's been fun hanging out with you, Shasky, and Lubman and Carter. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow, bright and early, 6 to 10 tomorrow morning. Hopefully we have a Giants win to react to. But Steiny and Guru are next. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Thanks for hanging out. We'll talk tomorrow on 95.7 The Game.
As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.